We are up to Nechemya Perek Ches. But before we go to Perek Ches, what I'd like to do is I want to run through the very long Mitzudos at the end of Perek Zayin, which just summarizes the reason why the people who made Aliyah were repeated twice, once in Sefer Ezra, and the second time again in Sefer Nechemya, where Nechemya is now coming to revisit and he found a document which had all of the list of the people that came up about 35 years ago, and he repeats all of the names of the people, and there are slight variations. We went through some of the variations, and here in this Mitzudos he throws out a number of ideas to explain why there are discrepancies between the list that we find in Sefer Ezra and we have in Sefer Nechemya. Let me just ask you to be... Okay, so let's see. This Mitzudos, okay, I don't know every single word. It's a little bit difficult for me, but it's in Perek Zayin Pasuk Samach Vav. Perek Zayin Pasuk Samach Vav is where it begins. This is towards the end of the enumeration of all of the people that ascended during the time of Nechemya, during the time of Ezra. The entire sum was 42,360. Now here's where he starts. It's not so difficult to suggest, but again, the ideas, a lot of the ideas we discuss, we mention, and here it's good to see it inside. And if you add up all the numbers in the Sefer Nechemya, you will not come to this number. This total sum does not equal 42,360. Okay, I don't have it here. I have it here. Let me take it. I'll give you the numbers in the of Schwab's Sefer. Here it is. The index, a very, very good appendix.
Rabbi,
yes.
Wouldn't you be surprised if the numbers would have been exactly the same?
If it would be exactly the same, that's the way it should be. I mean, whatever you do is no good. If it's correct, then it's no good. If it's not correct, okay, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. The total number given in both accounts is 42,360. But if you add up the numbers, in Sefer Ezra, it's 30,053. And in Sefer Nechemya, it's 30,461. So slightly over 400 more people are counted in Sefer Nechemya than in Sefer Ezra. So that is what the Mitzudas here is coming to address. So the answer is, what happened to the missing 13,000 people? So the answer is, all of the people and the families that we listed, Kim Hayisraelim Mibnei Yehuda Uvin Yamin. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere explicitly. This is a very big chiddush that the Mitzudos is coming to. I mentioned this probably 10 times when we went through these numbers. We're only listing the Bnei Yehuda Ubin Yamin, and the other, and of course the Leviim and the Kohanim and the Avdei Shlomo. The Yamash Olum Yeser Hashvatim. It's a tremendous chiddush. Even though we know that the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled about 200 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, 150 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they didn't totally disappear. There were definitely pockets of them that still survived. The Imash Olu Miyeser Hashvatim Hayu Kicheshbon Hazeh was all included in the grand total 42,306. So anyone that says that there's no one left today from the Aseres Hashvatim, it's totally incorrect. It's absolutely false. The vast majority of the Aseres Hashvatim have disappeared. And there's machlokes in the Gemara, will they return, will they not return? That's a very big discussion. Are they out there? Mysteriously, they're out there. But there's no question that significant numbers of them are still mixed into Klal Yisrael, and everyone will be surprised if you would be able to somehow trace your lineage. You may discover that you are a descendant from all of the Shvatim. Who knows, over generations, there's been so old marriages of all different families are coming together. Everyone has in their blood a little bit of everyone. It's not so far-fetched. V'chein beforish b'seder olam. Samach Ayin stands for seder olam, a very famous medrash, which is an historical medrash, goes through the history of the world. V'hinei. Now he goes into detail. Lo Ezra. So what's going on? The Mitzvah says if you go and you analyze the Pratim, the details, it's not exactly the same. There are a little bit more than 400 people listed in Sefer Nechem that are not in Sefer Ezra. Pam lo hoisa, pam lo groya. In the individual family, sometimes there are more and sometimes there are less. Yaklal hacheshbon hanisparim bepratios yosifu al mashem muskar b'seif Ezra. And the overall sum, even though in the details some of the individual families are less than what we find in Sefer Ezra, but uvaklal hacheshbon hanisparim bifratios. But if we take the sum of everything, that's all of the details that have been enumerated, Yosifu al Masha Muskar b'Sefer Ezra, we have more. We have a little bit more than 400 more people listed. V'yesh mishpacha shechashram Ezra v'loy huskuru po. And when we went to the details, we took note that there are some families that were mentioned by Ezra which are not mentioned here in Sefer Nehemiah. V'chein behepuch uv'mispar rosha oilim hoisifu po. And here we included this person from, even forget about the family people, let's talk about the Roshim, the leaders. There is a person here in Sefer and Nehemiah called Nachmani, Mashaloi Zachu Ezra, which is not mentioned in Sefer Ezra. He has Zarya Ramaya Misperes. These three people called Azariah, Ramaya, and Misperes, Haniskorim Po. So he is coming to bring out one idea which we mentioned in the past, that there, even though you'll ask that there are other discrepancies between what appears here and what appears there, specifically when it comes to these three people of Ramaya and Misperes and Azariah, who are not mentioned in Sefer Nehemiah. So the Mitzvah says those three people are not problematic because they are the same people with different names. Haniskarim po haloihema Saroya Ra'alya and Mispar Rechum Haniskarim beEzra. So these three people are really the same. They just have different names. Ki kroivim heim b'loshon, because they're very similar in b'loshon. Uveshtei Hashemos nikrohu. And the reason why they are mentioned by different names is because that's how they were known in society. They had two different names. Some people called them by one name. Others called them by another name. Therefore, Uchamohu Rabim. And there are many examples like this. V'gamponim surabim zulosam b'chiluf Hashemos Michel Ezra, Avil, fine. And there are other examples. If you go through all the details of Sefer Ezra and Nechem, you'll find other details that they are the same exact person or people, just different names. But, big but, Avil Nachmani Mehanira Kihu Hu Hanitoisef Becheshbon Mispar Rosha Oilam. But that one there's no solution for. After all the searching and trying to answer and to reconcile the differences, there's no way the Mitzvah says you can reconcile this added person called Nachmani, who is listed here in Sefer Nehemiah as one of the leaders, and his name is absent in Sefer Ezra. The Yitochin, it could very well be Ki Nehemiah Loi Hetik called Divrei Ezra. So now he already gives the first chiddush that Nehemiah did not quote. He did not quote everything that Ezra said exactly, but he gave over the gist, the toichen hadvarim.
What's the time difference?
35 years.
35 years
so between.
This person could have been a new leader.
But the problem is that the total sum. That's the whole problem. The total sum is exactly the same. If the total sum is exactly the same, obviously we're going back to the original point in time, because it cannot be the total sum will be exactly the same over a 35-year period of time. It's impossible. So it has to be that Nehemiah is recording the original Oilam, the original people. But if you are recording the original people, why then are you adding 400 plus more people? And why, specifically when it comes to one of the leaders, which is not a small point. Like, you want to go list who's the cabinet, who is all the senators. These are people you can't just fudge. Either they are or they're not.
Why would you go to, if you're taking the census in 2000?
Yes.
Why would you count people from 1990?
Exactly. So obviously, you're not taking a census in the year 2000. You're counting people from 19. That's exactly what.
Why would he count historically rather than in the present tense?
Because the context of the survey is Nehemiah now is desperate to bring people living in the suburbs back to Yerushalayim. They concluded building the wall, and they don't have enough people to protect the city and to live. The pasuk says it was rechavas yadayim. The city of Yerushalayim was vast, was extremely. There was a lot of empty land, so he desperately wanted to populate Yerushalayim. So he pulled out the old record books. Who were the original oilim who came here to Eretz Yisrael? They must still be here. They're now living in Yerushalayim. Some of them may have died, but they have children and grandchildren. So whoever were the original Olim must still be around somewhere.
Have they gone back to Buck?
Possibly. And they possibly could have gone to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Who knows? So you have to start somewhere. So he pulls out the old records, and here he has a list of people. Let's work with this. Here are the first 10 people. Where are they? What happened to them? Does anyone know? Well, I know he lives in the north. So let's go to the north. Let's look him up. Let's check him out. 35 years, a lot of things have happened. There's a lot of development. So they have. This is something that Ezra, Nehemiah is using as a starting point to recruit people to live within the walls of Yerushalayim. Most of the people at this point in time were not living in Yerushalayim. They were living outside Yerushalayim, all over the land. And he felt that they were needed to live in Yerushalayim to protect the capital. So here he says the first thing, he acknowledges, Ki Nehemia lo yhetik kol divrei Ezra kavayasan mibli shinui aval hitik toichan hadvarim. Okay, that's a really popular word, expression. Teichen hadvarim in the Gemara, when yeshiva should expression, go to yeshiva. What's the teichen hadvar? The essence.
The
essence. It's a really yeshivish expression. The teichen hadvarim. Just the essence. So v'hinei ho aliyah rishon shalom zuba bel ha'isa b'shnas shtayim l'koresh ha'parsi. So first, let's go back. The first aliyah when Ezra counts, he enumerates the people. This took place in the second year of Koresh. The Achar Shonim Rabos Bishnas Eshrim Lidaryovish, and after many years, Bishnas Esrim Lidaryovish Ben Achashverosh. So here, this is another chiddush that the Mitzudos is working with, that the 20th year is not the 20th year of Koresh. The 20th year is the 20th year of Daryovish Ben Achashverosh HaParsi. We had that long discussion when in the beginning of Perek Zayin. Is this when it says that it was the 20th year of Koresh? Who is Koresh? Is this Koresh the first Koresh, or are we calling all of the subsequent kings by the name Koresh? And according to Rashi, we followed Rashi pretty much over and over, that we're referring to the 20th year of Daryovish Ben Achashverosh, the son of Esther. According to Taisus learns that this is not this is the 20th year of from Koresh, which takes them into the very beginning of the Malchus of Daryovish, which puts this back many years earlier. So here we have. So here he rashlids the 20th year of Ladayavish Menachashresh Oz Ola Nechamia V'Oz Mota Sefer Yachas. He found this book Ulchei Nemar. So here he's coming to give a very interesting answer. This leader that he counts, Nachmeni, when he went up at the time of Ezra, the second year of Koresh, he was a very young man. He was not recognized as a leader. He was just an anonymous person counted in the 42,360. Ulam, but now, 35 years later, Nisgadel b'shanim uvemala. He had advanced in years and in stature.
Leadership.
Fascinating. So it's a list of the people that ascended 35 years ago. But we're going to reflect in this record what has happened over the last 35 years. Even though he was wearing diapers 35 years ago, but right now he's one of the leaders. He's a significant person. So now we're going to rewrite history. So we're not rewriting history. It's true he was there, but we're going to mention him. It's a very interesting approach. Now, with regard, that explains that he is dedicated already 5 lines to explain Nachmani. To explain Nachmani, and he brings out this in the entire idea. So, the approach of the two is we are primarily retracing the original pioneers from 35 years, but we are reflecting 35 years later what became of some of them. Okay, so that explains Nachmani. What about the numbers? How come sometimes the family has 666 and the other time it's 667? How could there be a discrepancy of one? And certainly when it comes to others, we have all these other discrepancies. With regard to the addition of number and the deduction, Noimar. Another approach. Many people died from the original people that ascended. Some of them died. And many new people were born. And they became adults. They were people that did not exist then and existed now. Tremendous chiddush. Now, when it comes to the families, we're going to list the same families, but the number is going to be reflected current times. So, people, the families, that's very, the one family that's 666 at the time of Ezra, and now it's 667. So he's saying that means one new person was born, or it means some of the old timers died and new people were born. That's in because a family of 666 over 35 years, it's very strange to say only one. Then the population, what the population today is 3.4%, 3.5%. They have a lot of studies today, Orthodox population growth with regard to Shidduchim, the Shidduch crisis. So the population growth over a year, each year is 3.5%. It's a very, 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 very significant population growth. 3.5%.
What's the rate of growth? The
Goyim, I don't know.
That would be interesting to see.
To compare. I'm sure it's a lot, lot less. And this is among the this is only among the Orthodox. I'm not talking about Jews. We're talking about only the Orthodox community involved in the so-called yeshiva shaduchim. 1.8.
Rest of the Jews, it's minimal.
Yes, but the Goyim. Probably this is probably the same as the Goyim, I would imagine. Yeah. Same thing, maybe even less. But Orthodox community, it's 3.5. So it's shocking. 35 years, the family, what are the chances? And most of the families remain exactly the same. And some of them, there are major discrepancies. Okay, but that's what he says. This is what he says. It's a very big chiddush. The problem is, there's a discrepancy.
Of one.
No, there are many discrepancies. There's a discrepancy of 400 and something, 405, I forgot whatever the number was. There's a discrepancy in the pratim of about 400. So how do we make sense of that discrepancy? So the Mitzudos is suggesting that Ezra is starting Nehemiah, who 35 years later is recording the Olim, is primarily focusing on the original Olim of Ezra. But he is taking into account people who have died over the last 35 years
and births.
And this is what we have. That's shocking, because over 35 years, you would expect the numbers to change dramatically, either one way or another, mostly upwards, not downwards. But that's what he says.
End up with new numbers. 38 died, 39 were born.
38, okay, but...
38 died, so it's a discrepancy of one, but you had normal deaths and normal births.
Okay, but you would expect over 35 years that the population would grow. That's the Derech HaOlam. You expect over 35 years a family that starts out with 666, 35 years later would be a lot more than 667. After we take into account...
births without pace to deaths.
Of course. That's Darko Shaloylam.
But you're looking at a different world. I mean, you're talking about
ancient times, life expectancy, there was war, constant war, there were constant dangers. Correct. Absolutely.
Old age was considered
60 was already a Zakin Mufluk. A Zakin Mufluk. That's probably... Okay, there were different coups. We know that throughout world history, there were many different periods among the Goyim. There were different periods of time where there's different life expectancy. There were ancient civilizations, we know for a fact, they lived until the 80s and 90s. In ancient civilizations, they lived in a very healthy environment. They ate well. They did exercise. They were not at war. And then we know that in the 18th century, 17th century, most of the world, they didn't live past 40, 30.
Disease.
So we can't really judge. Every time period in the world was different. But over here, this is a very big chiddush, and it's very hard to really understand. And so the Mitzuda says his approach is that Ezra is reflecting the changes that have occurred over 35 years, and what's shocking is that in the details, the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael only increased by 400 in total, and most of the families pretty much stayed the same. That's what he says. Okay, let's go further. Now, what Ezra said, what Nehemiah begins in the beginning of his is a list. So the Mesudos is questioning himself. How can I say that the list that Ezra is providing is now current when he introduces his list with those that have Oilim, who ascended with the exile? He's explicitly saying, I'm giving you now the number of people, the list of people who came here to Eretz Yisrael 35 years ago in the time of Ezra. Al Haroiv. So he's saying, it refers to the Roiv, the majority. The majority, because most of the people are still living, it appears. They all came up when they were very young. They must have been teenagers, or in their young, whatever, very young people. And now, it's 35 years later, so most of them are still around. Al ha'roiv yoimar, v'loy al ha'ma'at hano'olim, not in reference to the few that were born, the Eretz Yisrael, sh'lo ha'yim in o'olim, that were not from the original o'olim, v'yesh min ha'mishpochos o'olim b'rishoyin asher sofu tamu b'mei Nehemiah, and there are definitely people that died, sofu tamu, two words which mean the same thing, which expired, at the time of Nehemiah, the Aplata Hanesheris, Nistabchu Lischaber, and the remaining survivors attached themselves. These two words mean the same thing. Nispachu Lischaber, El Hamishpachos Hakreva Salehem, the survivors attached themselves to their families, the Moyam Nechshavu, and they're considered part of the families, and therefore there were no new families. That's what he's saying. In 35 years, basically, the main families who ascended remained the same. Their numbers were fluctuated based upon the births and deaths. The Yeish v'na mishpachas shohayu oz anshei misei mispa. There were some families of a very small number. V'nis b'chu oz l'schaber el mishpachas akrevus l'chashev imoyim. And they attached themselves. They were very, very small families, only numbered in few. And they attached themselves to their cousins, to the larger families, to be considered part of the larger families. Now, And that's now in Tam Nechama they multiplied. And that's why you will find, I think we only had one or two examples of this. We had families listed in Sefer Nechemia that did not appear in Sefer Ezra. And Nechemia is saying, Matsuda says, that these are really not new families. These were just like stragglers, cousins. And they were so few they could not be considered chasha. But now over 35 years, they married, they reproduced. And therefore now they get their own name. It was Seif Amarov at the end of his enumeration. Kilolom Yachad Vimoilim Yeser Hashvatim. He gives the grand sum, 42,360, which includes the people that we listed from the Shevet of Yehuda and Yamin, the Kohanim Levim, the Avi Shlomo, together with the Aseres Hashvatim. Im Sherochuk Hadavar. Now here he goes. Even though it's impossible, it's rochuk, it's far fetched to say. That it's impossible that the total sum 42,360 remain exactly the same. That's far fetched. If in the pratim, if when we go and we count all the individuals, we come out that there were over 400 new people. Alachas kama v'kama. When you're dealing with the extra 13,000 people, certainly they also were added. Uvada keni toisef b'yeser hashvatim hine. So here comes the last chiddush of the mitzvos. So why then do we have the grand total of 42,360? Hine mikol makom roha nechemya lichtev klal hamisbar. Even though he is now reflecting, he is giving a new list reflecting the changes that have occurred over 35 years, when he gives the grand sum, he gives kavod to the original oilim, the original people.
The Shvi Agoy lo hoyu rak b'cheshbon hazeh, because the oilim from the Shvi Agoy lo, those that ascended were not included in the specific number, since it's only a general number. So he just gave the general. I'm not really exactly sure what that means. Masha yimei oz v'lok if he masha heima ata v'zehu lefi sheha oilim mishvi hagoy lo hoyu rak. The cheshbon hazeh, they were included in this original cheshbon. He basically means that he's giving cover to the original olam. In the details, he's going to enumerate, he's going to reflect changes, but in the general picture, the general number that was calculated 35 years ago, that's how he wants to refer to them as well, refer to the people that have come here. Okay, so this general, I mean, he answers here, he touches upon many of the issues. We really kind of cannot mention every single one of these issues when we went through this parak to explain the difference between what says here and Sefer Ezra. And here we see it inside. It's very good to see it inside, get a little more of an appreciation of these 42,360. It's interesting, today you do the same thing in the state of Israel. There are so many parallels between Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nechemia to what has happened in the 20th century and it's continuing in the 21st century in the Eretz Yisrael. The establishment of the state of Israel and people who went, who returned. And now, you know, you look back, so much being written today and so many studies and so much history is coming out of things that have been secrets that were censored, military secrets all being revealed. And you want to look back in history and you could do the same thing today. You can give a new account of what has happened 70 years ago and past based upon things that have developed over the last 70 years. So it's not so far-fetched for us to relate to what Nechemiah is doing as the way the Mitzvah explains it in our own lifetime, to see how things have happened. And now when we look back at it with an entirely different perspective.
Just updated the number of Jews that were killed in World War II.
Yeah.
They said it's way higher.
Almost 7 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that already many years ago.
They counted up the name. They, you know, a lot of people, they didn't know. You know,
yeah.
People were on their own having a baby. The name's missing. They're calculating.
They say it's really more like 7 million.
Still, at least another 348,000 more, but there's...
They don't know. Yeah,
there's plenty more to go. It's probably closer to 7 million.
Unbelievable.
Yep, and children. Children, they used to like up. They used to be. There were a million children. The 6 million, there were a million children.
I just found in the back of one of my grandfather's forum, my mother said, I asked her brother that she lost if he, you know, she knew, she thought she had some kids. She said, but they didn't know the names or anything. I said, my grandfather knew. I just found the chumash in the back, and he had like,
really?
Mishmaset.
All the names.
He had the names, which were in the family. So he had children, but they were little. They were small at the time. So whatever. Sure, they weren't listed anywhere. Things like that. A lot of, obviously, hundreds of thousands like that.
Yep.
The way the Nazis were some particular.
No, they didn't. Yeah, people were moving fast. Right. That's why we don't have records. Everybody was too busy to keep records. They were on the run for their life.
Okay, let's now just begin a little bit of Perek Ches. Perek Ches, a fascinating Perek. Let's just right away jump into it. We have to remember that it's now Rosh Hashanah. It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. After Ezra has, the walls are complete, and he's now made a calculation of all the people that are living in Eretz Yisrael. At this point in time, all the people, Nehemiah, he calls everyone to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone arrives ki'ish echad. It's a very powerful expression. Not in the Mefarshim, they dwell upon this, just like by Matan Torah. This, in essence, was another Matan Torah. This event that we're going to learn about in Perek Ches, many of the Mefarshim, they go so far to say this was one of the most significant events in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's a very powerful state. I think Rav Schwab says that. It's a very, you know, you want to go through Jewish history, go take out a book on Jewish history. What are the 10 most significant events in Jewish history? Or you say Matan Torah, Kriyas Yam Suf. This event is counted on the top, towards the very, very top, what's about to take place. The people gathered, ki ishech, like one person, like we have the same expression by Matan Torah, ki ishech b'lev echad. They were they very swift, el harachav, into the area, the square, asher lefnei shar haman, that was before the gate of the water. That was the thing on the east, if I'm not mistaken, on the Shar Hamayim, one of the walls of the Har Habayis.
So
I'm not sure, because it could be not sure that today it's this, that during this time it was the same Shar. It's the northeast. We had it before, right? Today, right? Today, in the time of the Bayis Sheni, of this. Okay. So this is fine. The northeast, fine. The Shar Hamayim. Vayomu le'Ezra ha'Sofer. Now, all of a sudden, for the first time in Sefer Nehemiah, we refer to Ezra. We're learning Sefer Nehemiah, and now Nehemiah is joining together with Ezra HaSofer. Ezra at this time was obviously very old. It's 35 years later. The last we heard about Ezra was when he separated all of the assimilation into marriage 35 years ago. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was told what's taking place about into marriage, and then he disappears. Now, Ezra at this time has to be close to 120 years old. Ezra, we know, we have a tradition that he lived to the age of 120. We even know when his Yahrzeit is. His Yahrzeit, well, we have a tradition that it's on the ninth day of Teves. Right? In Shulchan Aruch, it says there are 3 days that we're supposed to fast. The eighth, the ninth, and the tenth day of Teves. So the tenth day of Teves, we all know that's when the siege of Yerushalayim began. Aschalta de Paranusa. It's one of the most strict fast days in our tradition. If it would fall on Shabbos, we would even fast on Shabbos. It's the beginning of the Chorban, when Yerushalayim was besieged. But in Shulchan Aruch it says you're supposed to also fast on the eighth day and the ninth day. What happened on the eighth day? The Egyptian Greeks translated the Torah into Greek. And that 3 days of Choshech, Targum Shiv, 3 days of Choshech came down to the world, because it was the Ziyuf, the falsification. Diminished the sanctity of the Torah Shebichsav. was a very great tragedy that the Kedusha of the Torah was diminished because it was masked. Now the Hamoin Am had access to Torah, and anyone can come along and say whatever he wants, can forge the Torah, can make any interpretation. When the Torah was hidden, even when the Torah Shebichsah, it was contained only by the Chachamim, no one had a right to pervert, to falsify, and just make the Torah into a text for preaching and Narishkeit, to do all these crazy things. Now it was free for all. And that was a terrible, terrible zilzal in the Kedusha of the Torah. That's on the 8th day of Teves. What about the 9th day of Teves? So in Shulchan Aruch it says, he's supposed to fast, and we don't know why. It's the words of the Mechaber. It's not known why. It's a tradition to fast. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Knesset HaGedolah that the tradition is it's the Petira of Ezra HaSofer. There's been a lot of research lately of Schneer. We spoke about this. Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman. He has done a lot of research that it's the day of the death of Simon Peter. Simon Peter's Yahrzeit. He was supposedly a Jew, even could be a Tana, and he infiltrated the Christians. The Christians at that time were Jews, and they were like everyone else. They were Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, they were Tefillin, they observed Shabbos, they were fine Yidden. Only problem was, they believed in Yashka. Jews for J. They were the real Jews, the real deal, the real Jews for J. And they had so much influence and power, there was a real threat that Klal Yisrael would be completely taken over by these people. And that would result in a very big korban. So he infiltrated their camp, and he took them away, and he convinced them, he did moifsim, he was a Tana, he was Mechayimesim, it's just all tradition, it's all legend. He was Mechayimesim, and he healed cholim, cripples, and all these things. He walked on water. All these things, and he told them that Yashka came to him in a vision, and he told them they no longer have to observe the mitzvahs, and instead of observing Shabbos, they should have their day on Sunday. And then he convinced them that why only for the Jews? Let's open up the religion for the non-Jews. And very slowly, he was able to take this group of people through incredible charisma and the kochos of whatever he did, to take them away from the Torah true Jews and establish Christianity at a great expense to himself, because for the rest of his life he was completely involved with these Mishugayim, involved in Tumah and all these things. He locked himself up, there's all these legends what he did in order to avoid being Machal Shabbos and avoid all this Tumah. And when he died, as a recognition of his sacrifice, what he has done for Klal Yisrael, it was accepted that Klal Yisrael would accept the day of his Petira as a Yom Tzom forever. That's its tradition. Traditions. This is brought down in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. I think one of the Mefarshim in the back.
Written about it. They called him the first spy, the first undercover agent, double agent.
They probably embellished
it. He made it someday so that the frum Jews would not be confused. That
right. Exactly. He took them away.
That was the main thing.
He took them away.
Sunday.
So you know, he has something to say.
That happened at the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. It was way past his
time. Way past his time. But he could be that he already planted the seeds.
What?
He planted it for Peter. Who was Peter? Peter was also where they say was Jewish.
Yeah, he was born in Turkey. And he preached in Asia Minor.
There's another one. Okay, there's all... I don't know these.
He told us that Paul was born in Turkey and preached in... Peter, you said to us, he made a new alphabet. You said.
Yes, yes. I didn't have a
mass.
L-M-N. L, aim, ayin. The God of this nation is nothing. Shneir Lami, he quotes Rashi. He quotes a Rashi. He reads a Rashi, and he says the Rashi doesn't make one bit of sense. And then he says that you have to see the real Rashi before it was censored. And then he takes out the uncensored edition of the Rashi, and he reads you the Rashi. And then he has, I don't know, he has other sources, and he says that basically he invented the English alphabet, the English language. Tremendous chiddush. You go, you're not going to find this on Google, such chiddushim. But,
I heard an interesting thing, that at some communities, Jewish communities, what April Fool's Day was celebrated as pranks, because they figured out that on April Fool's Day,
that's when you can pregnant.
It was the day of the Immaculate Conception.
Yes. Yes. Here we have one more second. I got a few. Don't bend down. Yeah. All right. But one thing that's interesting. So, you have a tradition, and you have a traditional Jew. You learn the Shulchan Aruch, and it says that on the eighth day of Teves, the ninth day of Teves, you fast. And Mishnah Berurah says, why do you fast? He quotes the Knesset. The Mishnah Berurah, someone said it was the birth of Yashka. That's he rejects that flat out. Rabbi Schneur Leiner. I saw this brought down a number of Svarim. I have a tradition. This is the day that he was born, or the day that he died. It's something to do directly with Yashka. So Rabbi Schneur Leiner, he just rejects that flat out. He says it can't possibly be. There's no way anyone can know. The whole thing is so shrouded in mystery. There's such a Messiah. It's hard to believe. But on the other hand, he goes on and he pounds away that it's a memory of this person, Simon Peter, for his sacrifice. A lot of people don't like that. They don't want to hear that. You know, it's not traditional. You learn the traditional Mefarshim and Mishnah Berurah had a Messiah. It was the Patira of Ezra HaSofer. But the truth is, they're not so different. Because what was Ezra HaSofer? This we have to really study and develop. You have to be ma'ayin. Ezra, we learned many midrashim, was very compared over and over to Moshe Rabbeinu. If there wasn't an Ezra, there would have been an Ezra. Moshe and Ezra are part of a team. And the difference between the two, Moshe Rabbeinu's focus was Torah Shebichsaf. Of course, there's no such thing as Torah Shebichsaf that Torah Shebal Peh. But still, the emphasis of Moshe was he brought down Torah Shebichsaf. Ezra was the other side of the spectrum of Torah Shebal Peh. And we're going to see that he was the beginning of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. He made all the takanas. He brought into Klal Yisrael the whole, he gave life, tremendous chiyus to Torah Shebal Peh. With his patir, with his death, that's where the Goyim began to falsify Torah Shebal Peh. The Ziyuf, the guardian of Torah Shebal Peh, was Ezra HaSofer. As long as Ezra HaSofer was alive, no one would dare tamper with Torah Shebal Peh. He did not come up to Eretz Yisrael until his Rebbe Baruch Ben Iriya died. Baruch Ben Iriya was the link of the Torah Shebal Peh. He was loyal to the Torah Shebal Peh. He came to Eretz Yisrael and he gave life and he gave permanence to Torah Shebal Peh. That's a fact. When he died, already the guardian is, there's no guard. This Torah Shebal Peh, with true Torah Shebal Peh, but the Goyim come along and they chep it with our Torah Shebal Peh. What is Yashka? What is Christianity all about? So the Ramban Ramesh writes, the whole essence of Christianity is the Zeyuf, the forgery of Torah Shebal Peh. That's the whole, you want to, the Toichen HaDvarim, the essence of Christianity. They agree to Torah Shebal, but even today they don't agree to Torah. They have the New Testament. But talking about the Old Testament, they were very loyal to Torah Shebal Saf. Even talking about the real Christians, the devout Christians, not talking about what's their Mashiach, their whole interpretation of Torah Shebal Peh. And that's why only the Christians are involved in censoring the Gemara and doing. You don't find the Muslims. We find the thing in history with the Muslims that they censor, they burn the Talmud. I don't think we find to such a degree, maybe a little bit, but not to such a degree that they have to ban the Talmud and can't study the Talmud, because the Talmud is Torah Shebal Peh. The essence of Christianity is the forgery of Torah Shebal Peh. So what comes out? That the patira of Ezra and this whole idea that's been researched by Dr. Lyman, of of Simon Peter, it's really the same. It's really the same idea. It's the Zeyuf of Torah Shabbal Peh. Ezra HaSoifer was the guardian of Torah Shabbal Peh. With this Petira, poof. That's it, we're in trouble. Simon Peter sacrificed himself because we have in this world a very big tzara. The tzara of Christianity. And their goal, first and foremost, is to forge Torah Shabbal Peh. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Peter, and he made the alphabet.
Yeah, it's right. Very interesting. It's very interesting. I mean, in different spectrum, entirely different way. But you see, you know, Zelumaze, you see such parallels, and it's a very interesting Shulchan Aruch. What do you have in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says we do something. The whole reason Shulchan Aruch is, you know, you tell you this is the halacha, gives you a source. We don't know why. And not knowing why has opened up so many different reasons. Traditional, Ezra, modern, but it's really intertwined. The two ideas are really intertwined. And here we have Ezra's coming and reappearing for the last time in this parak. And he's going to have, we just list one pasuk, the name of Ezra. So if you want to read the whole pasuk, we'll stop. To bring forth the Sefer of Moshe, and this was the Sefer Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on the day that he died. And now Ezra is going to come, he's going to read, he's going to teach Klal Yisrael what it says in the Sefer Torah. And give them Musar. He's going to relate not just the Torah Shebichsav. There's going to be a whole emphasis how the Leviim, they're going to circulate among the people and teach them the interpretation of the Torah Shebichsav, the Meturgamin. There's a very great emphasis on Torah Shebaal Peh. The real Makoros of Torah Shebaal Peh come from the three Targumim. We mentioned this a few times that Rabbi Kasher, the author of Torah Shlomo, what was his first name?
Menachem
Kasher. Brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham. Author of the famous Sefer Torah Shlomo. So he has, you know, besides the Torah Shlomo, there are hidden gems all over the whole Torah Shlomo. He has kuntres from every right and left. He has kuntres from here and there. And he has one incredible kuntres which explains the three Targumim. There's Targum Unkelis, Targum Yerushalmi, and Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Really, it's Targum. We have the full Targum Unkelis, of course. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Targum Yerushalmi, most of it was lost from us until about 50 years ago when the Vatican accidentally released it. It was an accident. There was a scholar that was doing research. They had it. The whole you look in the Mikros Gedolos, the old Mikros Gedolos, they have snippets. They don't have the entire Targum Yerushalmi. They have a little bit here, a little bit there. Most of it was missing. Now we have the entire Targum Yerushalmi. The lot, you know, the I don't know if they really want to print it. He prints it. It's readily available. A lot of the Farshim already, the modern Farshim, they refer to the Targum Yerushalmi. But he shows that you can trace Machloikis Tanoim, Machloikis Beishanai Beishilil, you can trace to the Targum. The entire Shurish of Tersha Baal Peh, all the major disputes among the Tanaim and the Mishnayis, the nuance in the difference of expression between the way the Targum Unkelis and the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel and the Targum Yerushalmi express an idea, the very fine nuances in translation, that is the shurish of major machloikasim between Tanoim and the Mishnayis. So we're going to learn over here that Ezra is going to read from the Sefer Torah, and he's going to send out a team, I think we have 13 main meturgamen. They're going to circulate among the 42,360 people and translate and teach them the Torah. What they're really doing is they're teaching them Torah Shebaal Peh. And you don't find that by Moshe. Moshe gave Musar. It was Torah Shebaal Peh. That's a given. Let's say otherwise, it's apikorsis. But the emphasis was on the Haskalah, the Torah Shebichsav. Now there's a very great emphasis on preserving the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what Ezra is going to do here. Now we'll leave more for tomorrow.